Good morning and welcome once again to the Bad Boy Turn Good podcast. All the way back from Nigeria is our good old friend, Pastor Johnson. Good morning, Pastor Johnson.
Morning, Pastor Ross.
How are you?
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Thank you for inviting me.
Amen. It's always good to have you on here. We missed you. We haven't had you on in a while. I mean, time has gotten away from us. I mean, what, 3-4 months must be?
That's it.
Do you know?
Quite some time.
I think you might be sleeping in late. You know? I don't know. So before we get into it, Pastor Johnson, will you just pray for us and all those who are listening?
Thank you, Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for your mercy that have kept us, especially in this time when we are looking unto you, praying and fasting, and the church is totally depending on you. We just ask, O Lord, that your grace will see us through to the very end, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Republic of Ireland, and we thank you for the peace and the security that we are relatively enjoying because of you. We pray, O Lord, my God, that y'all will be a better town, will be a glorious town, and the young, the old, will turn their heart back to God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, we're going to listen to some music. So while you go make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee before we get into discussion and get comfortable, this is In Christ Alone by Celtic Worship featuring Steph McLeod. Enjoy. And we're back. So tell us how you got on in Nigeria before we get into it. How is Nigeria?
Nigeria, it's a beautiful place, and we thank God for what God is doing in that country. But the reality is that there's a kind of religious war, you
okay.
know, especially among our brethren in the northern part. There's a lot of attacks, but we can never thank God enough for their perseverance, for their endurance. They refuse to run, even though hundreds and thousands have been killed. But in the south, it's been quiet. There's been a lot of revivals going on there with souls coming in. I came from, I just attended the conference, and we had I'm with the Redeemed Christian Church of God. We had this conference and a special legal service with our general overseer, with so many people attending. And it was really a life-transforming experience in Nigeria. We continue to pray for the government. We continue to pray that God will give them the wisdom at this time to have a peaceful, because without a peaceful environment, without the right infrastructures, without security, it will be difficult. If not just for the government to run a proper government, even for the people, the citizen, even for the church, but the security personnel are actually doing their best from the information I gathered, and we continue to just pray for them.
Amen. Amen. You mentioned a figure to me outside. How many million people?
Nigeria.
Yeah.
About 250 million people.
Wow, that's a lot of people,
it's
isn't it? You know.
And
how many people did you reach in the conference?
Sometimes we can be between 5 and 10 million people.
Wow! Yes. Wow. We bring back that to a small town like y'all, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we need to be reaching more. Do you know, imagine we reached, you know, 1% of the people here with the gospel. It would be good, wouldn't it? You know, well, we praise the Lord and we thank God for your life and for the heart he's put on you, you know, especially for the people of Ireland and, you know, the people of y'all, the people of Cove. You know, there's been a lot of tragedy in the area in the last couple of weeks, you know. And, you know, we just want, let's just take a moment just to lift those people up to the Lord, those families who are grieving at the moment. You know, we ask the Lord to just touch them with his comfort in a tangible way. Amen.
Comfort their hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, when you turn to your Bibles in Mark chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, contact the station. We'll get you one. We'll get one to you some way or somehow. You know, it's a good book. I don't say that lightly. So if you ever want a Bible, just get in touch with the station or get onto my website, badboyturngood.com. Drop me an email or give me a call and we'll get you a Bible. So Mark chapter 2, we're just going to read, and you all know the story, but we're just going to read through now. When he'd come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they dug an opening, they let down on the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and pick up your pallet and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet and go home." And he got up immediately, picked up the pallet and went out into the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and they were glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was reaching them. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Do you know, let's take another break for another song, and being Holy Week, I just want to play this one, "Death Was Arrested." You know, sit back and listen to it and listen to the words, because this is what it's all about. Jesus died for you. He went to the cross for you, and he rose again so we could spend eternity with him. That was "Death Was Arrested" by North Point Inside Out. So something different, but something poignant for this Holy Week that's in it. So, as we look at this, we're going to just have a conversation about this, Johnson, if that's okay.
That's fine.
With you, you know, I was just looking at the story, you know, and we I always presumed it was four friends. If we look at the story, it says, you know, it's four friends brought him. It doesn't say that. Either in Mark's version or Luke's version, it says some men or four men. So
it's go ahead.
Yeah. So I was thinking, hey, do you know what? We need to surround ourselves with people of faith.
Yes.
Do you know? People who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, "There's somebody we can help." So maybe he did know. Maybe these guys knew him, but we don't know that. It just says four men brought him. Do you know? And they brought him, and they couldn't get through the door. And we've heard sermons, I'm sure you heard as well, "When the devil blocks your door, go through the roof." You know? But I don't want to look at that today, you know? But these four men, we never get to know their names. But here we are, thousands of years later, talking about them. You know? Men of faith who just stepped out and helped somebody who couldn't do anything for himself. Somebody who lay in his mat day after day after day. You know, and I think, wow, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we calling to the old person, the old neighbour next to us who doesn't have anybody calling to them? Do you know? Because when they dug the hole, what did Jesus do? He looked up, and what did Jesus? Jesus saw their faith. You know, and how often does Jesus respond to faith? You know, the woman with the bleeding issue.
Yes.
Faith, your faith has made you well. The Canaanite woman who came, you know, I wouldn't give the dogs the crumbs.
Yes.
But your faith. So what do you think? How can we respond to things in faith? How can we let Jesus see our faith? Because Hebrews 6 tells us, what pleases God?
Yes.
Our faith.
Yes.
What does God respond to?
Faith.
So can you share anything just on that from your own experience? And
all right. You know, we are centering on a very important topic in the Bible, which is the core of God's relationship between him and man, which is belief. The Bible talks about the father of faith called Abraham. The Bible said he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Just like what Mark have written here. The what these four men have done, we don't know whether they are men, but born by four, obviously they will be men.
Yeah.
What they have done is amazing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing,
yeah,
and hearing by the word of God. I believe that they must have heard about Jesus.
Yep.
Because for somebody to tore off the roof, that must be great faith.
Yeah.
They must have seen him done something. It's very, very, very miraculous.
Yeah.
And they were sure, why should we allow this paralyzed man to die like this,
yeah,
when there's a healer somewhere? That shows, you know, their conviction. You know, for them to have gone this way, it's amazing. Look at it. The people were inside there. They never bothered about it. They didn't bother about Jesus. They said, this guy must not die. So if there's somebody that can heal him, they threw him through the roof and said, anything you like, do with him, but we don't want him to be like this anymore.
Yeah.
That's faith. Faith starts by taking a step.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Chinese proverb that said, the journey of 1,000 kilometers starts with just a single step. You know, if you don't take that step, the Holy Spirit will not move.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit, the book of Acts of Apostles was actually written because the apostle acted. So the life of this man, just like you said, their names were not given,
mm-hmm,
but we are still talking about them till today. Why? Because they took a step of faith. It's very important to God to believe him, especially when he says something.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. So what I find very interesting is that this man did this work and they left. No seeking glory, no seeking attention, and that's faith, because God takes all the glory. They came in, they do what they have to do, just like somebody knock at your door, okay, there's a big problem, and you decide to say, okay, we'll go to the hospital, but let's trust God first. Let's pray.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray about this. You know, we are in a time where people believe in what society can give, but forget about the God who gives life and who created all things. The first person to go to when you have any challenge in life is to talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
He's ever, ever willing,
mm-hmm,
to listen to us.
We don't do that, though, do we?
No.
No, we don't. He's the last person we go to.
After, you know, we have done all we can.
Yeah. I was, when I was, you know, looking at this story last night, and, you know, when these men carried him, they're expecting to go through the door.
Yes.
So where did they get the rope from? Did somebody have to leave him and go back and get the rope? But the determination for them to carry. And then, like, let's face it, they're basically breaking and entering into somebody's house.
Yes.
Can you imagine, like, up in St. Mary's here in Yall, like, Sunday service going on, or the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church, and suddenly there's dust falling down and a few boys lowering down a mat?
Mm.
I think more people would be more annoyed that, what are they doing to our roof?
That's it.
Do you know, rather than, do you know, let's get to see this man healed. Do you know? And I'm sure there are people there. I mean, we see the Pharisees start grumbling and start moaning, you know. Do you know what? He's going to do it again. He's going to really upset us, and more people are going to leave our tradition and follow his way, you know?
It's amazing, you know, when you see that what of the dust from the roof,
yeah,
on the people, they didn't care.
Yeah.
That is what pleased God. Just like you rightly said, yeah, Hebrews 11, verse 6,
yeah,
he that cometh to God must believe that he is,
yeah,
and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That was a sure faith. What God looks for. You see, I was reading the book of Exodus, do you see, when you study it very well, that Exodus 14, from 12 to 14, when the Red Sea never parted until they put a foot there.
That's that first
I
step.
I saw it. Yeah. It. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
When the feet enter, the place parted.
Yeah.
God is always pleased when he sees feet.
Yeah.
And that's why, no matter what, even anything you are going through in your life or family, you must believe.
Yeah.
You must keep believing.
Yep. Keep reading the word as well.
That's it.
Do you know?
That's,
as you said, faith comes by hearing, and
yes,
hearing what? Hearing the word of
God. Yes.
And for me, that's not just looking at your Bible and reading it with your eyes. For me, that's reading it with your mouth, vocalizing it, you know, so that you speak it out and you hear it in your own ears. or when you go on a Sunday, you listen to it, you know, and you hear that word of God being pronounced, you know. And then they lay him down, and the first thing they say is, like, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
You know? Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you?
Mm.
Do you know? You know, he has said it to us, but, you know, in that story, we're lying there, we're paralyzed, we don't know what way to turn. Your sins are forgiven. You know? Wow. Do you know, how amazing does that feel? How amazing would that, you know, affect us, that, you know, all we've done, all our shortcomings, all the times we've done the things we shouldn't have done.
Yes.
To hear the voice, the audible voice of God saying, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah. The Bible says something in Matthew 1:21 said, and she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing that Jesus saw was their faith. Mm-hmm. And bringing that man, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because sin, disobedience to God, open us to afflictions from the enemy. Many people don't know that when there's a natural law and there's a supernatural law. When you break these laws, there's always consequences. Just like somebody is driving and you don't have an insurance, you have broken the law, you know, and there are consequences from the guards, you know, for doing that. Now, the same thing in the realm of the spirit. This body is built to be the temple of God. And when you disobey that natural law, that spiritual laws, there are consequences. The problem with the man was sin. And Jesus identified the problem. And thank God, he has the authority to forgive sin. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sin was forgiven, and that was the major thing. The problem of man is sin, and is a time, that's why in a time where we are fasting and looking unto God, it's a time of spiritual cleansing. It's a time where we are making atonement for our sins or things that we may have done wrong. The Bible says something very important in Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever shall confess and forsake them shall have mercy. You know, most of the time, Jesus will tell them, oh, you are healed, go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. Go and sin no more. Because we are created to do God's pleasure. And when we do our own pleasure, look at a man just smoking, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. With time, he has problem with his lungs. Mm-hmm. Because there's a law that is being broken here.
Yeah.
The liver was not meant to process alcohol. Mm-hmm. So it will have effect. It's just a matter of time. Because this body is being regulated by things that are supposed to nourish the body, not things, acidic things that would destroy the body. So the same thing in spiritual things. Many sicknesses today are caused by disobedience. All we just need to do is to turn back to God and say, God, I know I've sinned against you. Have mercy on me. And it will be a beginning of a long, good walk with the Holy Spirit who will guide us and make us to be new again. Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin, from the power of sicknesses, from the power of diseases. That is why he came. Yeah. And if we believe him, he has done so many miraculous things, and he's still doing it today.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. There's three simple commands in the story.
Yeah.
You know, get up, stand up.
Yes.
And take your mat. Sorry, get up. Let me get out here now.
Yes.
So he says to him, your sins are forgiven. Get up, pick up your pallet and walk.
Yes.
You know, get up, pick up and walk.
Yes.
Three commands, three simple commands.
Rise, take up your bed and go there with.
Yeah.
It's amazing that the man carrying the mats that was carrying him.
Yeah.
The people were amazed.
Yeah.
They brought him carrying him. Now he stood up and carried what was carrying him.
He stood up straight away.
Yeah, straight away.
Straight away. But let me put this to you.
Mm.
That paralyzed man is left with a choice. And it comes from Proverbs 3:5.
Wow.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding.
Yes.
And that, you know, These guys, as you pointed out, these four men heard of Jesus' healing.
Yes.
They probably spoke to this guy, hey, we can get you healed.
Yes.
And perhaps the paralyzed man says, take me to him. Mm. Do you know, we don't know that backstory. But at that very moment when Jesus issued those words, that man is left with that choice.
Yeah.
Do I trust in God or do I lean on my own understanding? Mm. As we said, what's the first thing we do? Mm. We lean on our own understanding.
Exactly.
And I think we can often overlook that, that this guy is able to stand up straight away because he trusted in the one who said, get up, pick up and walk.
Exactly.
You know? And for me, that blew me away. Do you know? So when all goes pear-shaped, when it all looks bleak in our lives, what do we do? When the darkness comes, what do we do? Do we trust in the Lord or do we lean on our own understanding? Yeah.
That is why you cannot do it without a relationship.
Yeah.
You can't trust somebody you don't have any relationship with.
Yeah.
You can't trust somebody you don't know anything about. Those four men knew something about Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm sure the paralyzed man, they must have been telling him.
Yeah.
Just like Mary said to at the marriage, the wedding ceremony. Yeah. Anything he tells you, that's John chapter 2, just do it.
Yeah.
Anything he tells you. He told him to arise. Very important point you just made now, Pastor Ross.
Yeah.
The man stood up.
Yeah.
He can say, no, I can't walk. Oh, I can't stand up. He stood up.
He stood up.
That was the faith.
Yeah.
He stood up. You know, you can do it.
Yeah.
With the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You can do it. It's possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the number two, take up your mat.
Mm.
And that seems like a small detail.
Mm.
Do you know, I'll be running right. Hey, I can walk. Hey, I'm around. But he says, take up your mat.
Yes.
And I want to think about that. The mat was this man's identity for all his life. Do you know? Somebody dressed him. Somebody fed him. Somebody cleaned him. Somebody took him to a toilet. Put him on his mat. Whatever he did. Mat, bed, bat. So that was his identity. That was a symbol of his disability independence.
Exactly.
You know? And by telling him to pick it up, Jesus is saying, you're not bound by this anymore.
Mm.
I've set you free from this. You're free.
Mm.
Do you know, both physically and spiritually, you know, it's a powerful act of freedom, isn't it? You're free from this.
It is.
You
know? Just like when you look at the story of Moses. When he had that encounter with God on Horeb, Mount Horeb, you know, one of the signs that God showed him was, he said, what do you have in your hand? And he told God, he said, rod. He said, throw it to the ground. What happened? The rod became a serpent. The Egyptians, pharaohs, have on their crown a symbol of serpent on there, which is the principality that governs Egypt. Moses grew up in the palace, so he knew the power of these serpents as principalities controlling Egypt. What did God tell him? Pick it up.
Yeah.
That was what gave him a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Because because he was afraid. He wanted to run. God said, no, don't run. Pick it up. You know, anything that is a problem to us, God wants them to be under our feet.
Yeah,
and that is what happened. What do? You confront them with the word of God. You tell the problem about the God that you are serving. Don't be telling people about your problem. Talk to the problem about God.
Amen. Amen. Mm. That's it, you know. You know, and he says, go home. You know, you know, there's this thing that, you know, for me, I look at that, you know, he was carrying his testimony.
Yes.
He was bound by his paralysis. And here he was. His mat then became his testimony.
Yes.
And he'd go home and share that testimony.
Mm.
And I think, you know, what's those things that paralyze us?
Mm.
You know, because we're all sinners, you know. There's no one good but God. And we're all sinners. So what's that thing that Jesus set us free from? You know? What's that mat that we've been freed from?
Mm.
And are we carrying it as our testimony to our local community?
Mm.
To say, I was in this state, but Jesus told me to set me free.
Yeah.
And so he didn't throw away the mat. But the people who'd have seen him, do you know? Let's call him Bobby. There's Bobby with his mat.
That's it.
Do you know?
That's it.
He's walking free, and that testimony he's sending back.
That's it.
Do you know? No more than the woman he met at the well.
Mm.
Do you know? She didn't want to meet anybody else. We all, you know, everybody would have judged her, and she was, you know, whatever. We don't know her. We know a bit of her backstory, but we don't know why she was in that situation.
Mm.
But she drops her water pots and runs.
To tell the people.
To tell the people. to come and see, you know.
Yeah.
And here we see it, you know. You know, Jesus goes and speaks to Samaritan.
Mm.
You know, they're not meant to do that. Mm. You not speak to a woman, he's not meant to. But here is, and what happens after meeting that woman? Mm. They get 2 days hospitality,
yeah.
where they can share the gospel.
Yeah.
But she has a testimony.
That
you
is
know?
It. That is you know? Why the deliverance comes.
Yeah.
So that we can share it.
Yeah. You know, and not to forget about it, you know, the man who's the demons.
Yeah.
I want to follow you. No, go back. Yeah. Go back to your own community.
Very good story. Mark chapter 5.
Yeah.
When he went through the streets of Decapolis, yeah. telling everybody, yeah. I was the man that used to sleep in the grave, in the yeah. cemetery.
Yeah.
I used to live with dead people.
Yeah.
But Jesus set me free. He was knocking on doors.
Yeah.
He said, Jesus told him, go and tell everyone what God has done for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is just it. When yeah. God heals somebody of cancer,
yeah.
you know, and you survive it,
yeah.
the more you share it, the more you become very strong in your faith, and it yeah. will help others too.
Yeah.
To come out of
you see, we have this movement within modern church today of the cessationists, I hope I pronounced that.
Okay.
They don't believe the signs and wonders anymore. They mm. believe it. That was for back then, for you know, but I believe they happen today. Mm. We've seen miracles.
That's it.
Do you know?
That's it.
But both here and abroad, do you know? That God's power is still, you know, relevant and available today. His miraculous power is still available today. Do you know?
One of the things that really touched me as a young Christian was I was in what was called Redemption Camp, and we're late. I was late that evening, getting there. The place was filled with people.
Yeah.
I was just standing, but there was no seat. Yeah. And they brought this woman on a wheelchair just yeah. by my side. And the choir, not preacher, the choir was singing. And this woman stood up.
Praise
the son and the daughter were crying.
Yeah.
Nobody prayed for her. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a kind God. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness is an oppression and affliction from the devil. And that's why when they brought that man,
mm-hmm.
he healed the man. It's not a cross you carry. The cross you carry is to obey God.
Yep.
You are not supposed to go through any suffering. That's why Jesus came and died. Pause.
Yeah, that's a message we need to share with people, isn't it?
That's it.
You know, it's a message, and you know, a lot of people today don't believe in the devil. Do you know?
And the devil is rejoicing.
They believe in the supernatural. They don't believe in the devil. You know, I mean, you know, God created everything. God, you know, if God created everything, God created evil. And I'm thinking, no.
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes.
Do you know? Evil isn't created. Evil is the absence of goodness.
Mm.
Darkness is the absence of light, you know, and you know, so it's just an absence of something. So evil is the absence of the love of Christ, so of the love of God, you know. And as you quite rightly say, you know, disease, you know, sets in. But when we're in, you know, when we live, you know, opposite to the way God wants us to live,
yeah,
we are a broken world.
Yeah,
we are a broken community.
Yeah,
disease sets in.
Yeah.
You know, there's been many, many suicides in the, you know, too many suicides in the last few weeks in this whole West Waterford, East Cork area.
Wow.
Do you know? Do you know, and I think, you know, where are we as church people, or as church leaders, out in our community sharing the love of God with people? Yeah.
Many people don't know that this world is ruled by spirits.
Hmm.
They have a part understanding. That's why many people rush to fortune tellers.
Yeah.
Run to witches and palm readers, quijia boards, and all those kind of people. Why? Because it's ruled by spirit. Satan's power is built on ignorance. He doesn't want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
He rejoices when you say it doesn't exist so that he can afflict you.
Yeah.
Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The greatest knowledge is the knowledge of the Most High God. And that will open you your eyes to know that you have an adversary, the enemy of your soul. His name is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. He's the one that afflicts. Look at what he did in the life of Job.
Mm-hmm.
Killed. You know, if you didn't read that story very well, the conversation that the devil had with God, just take away the edge and see what that would do.
Mm-hmm.
He's so vicious, so wicked. And he went in one day, destroyed everything the man had worked for all his life. That's what's happening today. Somebody works so hard, then you end up in the hospital and they start using the money you used to work hard. Your house is sold just to look after you. You know, that's the devil, you know. But when you come to God and you really trust God, no matter what, there will be challenges. But God, you keep overcoming. God will see you through. He said, he promised in the Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So I just want to, as we wrap things up, man, that time has flown by again, you know. We've got another song to play. We want to pray before we go, you know. So while you're sitting there, wherever you're listening to us here this morning, I just want to think about your own life for a moment. Just, you know, what's your mat? What's that thing that's holding you back? What's that thing that's weighing you down? You know, keeping you stuck in the same old patterns. Do you know, it could be guilt. It could be shame. It could be fear. It could be addiction. It could be resentment. The list goes on. But we've all got our stuff. But here's the thing. Just like Jesus told the paralyzed man to pick up his mat and carry it home, he's telling us the same thing. He's saying, take your past, your pain, your brokenness, and carry it with you. But don't carry it as a burden. You've been freed from that. Carry it as a testimony. Because here's the beautiful, liberating truth. What Jesus frees you from becomes your testimony. That thing that once held you captive now becomes the very thing that proves his power to heal, to redeem, to transform. Your struggles aren't something to hide or be ashamed of. They're part of the story, part of what makes you who you are. So what sin has you paralyzed? What do you need to be freed from? Whatever it is, know that Jesus is ready and willing to set you free. And when he does, pick up your mat, stand up, and carry it home and share your testimony with your friends. Your testimony has been waiting to be told. It's a testament to the incredible grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And then we're going to go straight into Jesus. Before we pray, just want to just wish everybody a happy Resurrection Day.
Yes.
You know, life is full of Good Friday moments where everything seems lost and hopeless. But remember, just when you think it's all over, just when you think it can't get any better, Sunday shows up with a victory nobody saw coming. It's a reminder that even in our darkest moments, there's always a chance for resurrection and redemption.
Yes.
So I encourage you to keep your faith, because the defeat of death itself proves that light will always triumph over darkness. So Heavenly Father, in the midst of our struggles and shortcomings, we come before you, humbly seeking your healing touch. Surround each and every person listening to this morning. Surround them with people of faith,
yes,
that when they become paralyzed in sin, they will carry us to you. And just as you looked upon the paralyzed man with compassion and offered him freedom, we ask that you do the same for us.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we acknowledge the sins and burdens that weigh us down, the things that paralyze us and hold us captive, whether it be guilt, shame, fear, addiction, resentment. We lay it all before you right now. We confess our need for your healing power to break the chains that bind us and set us free. Grant us the courage to pick up our mats, to carry our past with us, not as a burden, but as a testimony to your grace and mercy. Help us to see that what once held us captive now can become a powerful declaration of your redeeming love in our lives. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, and embolden us to walk in the freedom that comes from knowing you. May our lives be a living testament to your transformative power, shining brightly as beacons of hope and inspiration to those around us. And as we move forward, Lord, guide us, strengthen us, and empower us to live lives that glorify you in all we do.
Yes.
And may we never forget the depth of your love, the boundless mercy that you freely offer to all who call upon your name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Like I say, guys, if you have any questions, you want to get in touch, you want Johnson or myself to come and pray with you, if there's anything holding you back, just get in touch. Badboyturngood.com is the website. My phone number is 087-955-1227. Just give me a call, shoot me a WhatsApp message or whatever. If there's any way we can pray for you, if there's any way we can reach out to anybody in your neighbourhood who needs help, we still have our food bank going. We're available to be the practical examples of the love of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Amen.